وَالَّذِينَ And those people who إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً When they commit an immorality أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ Or they wrong themselves ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ They remember Allah فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ And seek forgiveness for their sins وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ And who can forgive sins except Allah? وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ And who do not persist in what they have done while they know. More qualities of those people for whom Jannah has been prepared. For those people who have taqwa. Who are they? Those who, whenever they commit a fahisha. Fahisha is from fa-ha-sheen. And fuhush or fahisha is used for an action that is very obscene, an action that is very indecent. It's not a decent action. And generally, the word fahisha is used for those sins that are of sexual nature. For example, it is used for zina. It is also used for homosexuality. So it is used for these sins in particular. However, fahisha is not just limited to such actions. It is used for major sins. What is it used for? Major sins. Actions that are obviously wrong, meaning there is no doubt about those actions being wrong. For example, killing somebody, backbiting another person. What is this? A major sin, an action that is obviously wrong, meaning there is no question about it being right or wrong. It's understood as wrong. Similarly, lying. Everybody knows. Shar'an and aqlan. In the Sharia, as well as intellectually, if you analyze, any person will tell you that lying is immoral. It's not something that is acceptable. And fahisha is also used for those sins whose effect is on other people. Meaning it doesn't just affect the sinner, but it also affects other people. For instance, if a person commits qatl, he murders. So yes, he has done a major sin, so he is going to suffer the consequences of this crime. But another person has been killed. So the effect of this crime is not just limited to the sinner himself, but it also affects other people. Similarly, backbiting. Yes, as a person backbites, he is wasting his good deeds. But at the same time, what is he doing? He's destroying the reputation of another person. So this is what fahisha is. So, إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً Meaning whenever they commit a fahisha, any major sin, with which they affect others. For instance, riba, lying. Or ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ They do wrong on themselves. They commit injustice against themselves. ظَلَمُوا is from the root letters ظُلْم. And what does ظُلْم mean? To be unjust. So they are unjust on themselves. What does it mean by this? ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ has been understood as an explanation of fahisha. Explanation of what? Fahisha. That committing a fahisha is what? Committing zulm on yourself. Because every sin that a person commits, who is he harming? Himself. Yes, he does harm others as well, but primarily, he brings harm upon himself. So, ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ has been understood as an explanation of the word fahisha. But second, it has been said that no, fahishatan is something else, and ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ is something else. Because of أَوْ. أَوْ means or. So when they commit fahisha, or they do zulm on themselves. So what does it mean by that? They do zulm on themselves. Zulm on themselves has been understood as an action, a sin, that is lesser in degree compared to fahisha. That is lesser in degree compared to fahisha. So for instance, fahisha is a sin, it is a crime which affects other people and also the sinner himself. But ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ظُلْم upon oneself refers to those sins whose effect is only on the person himself. Not on other people, but only on himself. For instance, a person drinks alcohol. And when he's drunk, he doesn't harm anybody. He's drunk, he's only harmed himself. He has committed ظُلْم upon himself. So when they commit a fahisha, or they do wrong upon themselves, what do they do? ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ They remember Allah. ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ They remember Allah. Another example of fahisha and zulm upon oneself could be, for instance, a person breaks his promise is fahisha. He gave his word to someone, but he breaks it. So what's going to happen? The other person is going to be harmed. And ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, that a person sets a target for himself and promises himself that I'm definitely going to do this, but he doesn't do it. He tells himself that I'm going to make sure that I pray all of the salah in time. But he delays one, or he misses one. This is what? Zulm upon oneself. This is doing zulm upon oneself. So when they do this, what do? ذَكَرُ اللَّهَ, they remember Allah immediately. You notice the إِذَا at the beginning of the ayah? إِذَا, meaning each and every time, whenever they commit a fahisha or zulm upon themselves, immediately, what do? ذَكَرُ اللَّهَ, they remember Allah. And when they remember Allah, as a result of that, فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, then they seek forgiveness for their sins. Why? Because وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, who can forgive sins except for Allah? So, immediately they remember Allah and they seek forgiveness for their sins because Allah is the only one who can forgive sins. Now what does it mean by ذَكَرُ اللَّهِ? ذَكَرُ اللَّهِ, ذِكْر, as you know, remembrance, is done by the lisan, by the tongue. It is done by the qalb, in the heart. And it is also done by jawarih. It is also done by the limbs. So first of all, they remember Allah, how? By their tongue. And what is that? Doing istighfar. Or saying, astaghfirullah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What did I just do? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So statements in which they remember Allah. And when is that done? As soon as a person realizes his mistake. As soon as a person realizes that he has done something wrong. And this shows that the sin that they have committed is not deliberate. It was done by mistake. For instance, you tell yourself, I'm not going to backbite. You know that it's wrong. But you don't even realize you're talking to someone and you end up backbiting. You tell yourself, I'm never going to lie again. But what happens? You're in a situation and you're trying to protect yourself and you lie in that process. So it was not deliberate in the first place. It was a mistake. But as soon as they realize that what they have done is wrong, what do? They remember Allah and they say, Astaghfirullah. What did I just do? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So they say such statements which are of regret. They remember Allah. Secondly, dhikrul qalb, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. So for instance, a person remembers the fact that what he has done is wrong. He realizes that his conversation was actually a conversation of ghibah. That he remembers the definition of ghibah and he's like, what I just did was actually ghibah. What I just said was a statement of falsehood. Similarly, a person remembers the hisab on the Day of Judgment. A person remembers in his heart about the book of his deeds, about the record of his deeds, about the fact that everything is going to be displayed in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is going to question him. Thirdly, dhikrullah over here refers to dhikr through jawarih, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the limbs. What does it mean by that? That a person performs actions, which actions? That wipe off his sins. That as soon as they realize what they have done is wrong, immediately they do an action that will make up for the wrong that they have done. That will wipe off the wrong action that they have done. We learn from a hadith in Tirmidhi that sadaqah extinguishes sin just as water extinguishes fire. So for instance, you realize that you've done ghiba. What are you going to do? Too bad. I always forget. It's okay, doesn't matter. Allah will forgive me. Is that what you're going to do? No. You have to do dhikrul lisan, dhikrul qalb, as well as dhikrul jawarih. So one of the easiest things that you can do is give sadaqah immediately. Even smiling is a sadaqah. So the person whom you just did ghibah off, what can you do? The next time you see them, give them a big smile. Huh? Give them a big smile, because that is sadaqah as well. Similarly, from another hadith we learned that Prophet ﷺ said that whoever makes wudu as I do, and then prays 2 raka'ah in which he does not speak with himself. 2 raka'ah salah in which the person does not speak to himself. You know what that means? What? That there isn't any conversation going on in his head. Hadith al-nafs, Because generally, what are we doing? Always talking to ourselves. So he does not speak to himself, but rather he is focused in the salah. He has khushur. Then Allah will forgive him all his sins. Allah will forgive him all his sins. So what does this show? That as soon as you realize you've done something wrong, dhikrullah. Through the lisan, through the qalb, as well as the jawarih. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. And then they seek forgiveness for their sins. Which sins? The sins that they committed, whether it was fahisha or ظُلْم عَلَى نَفْس. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And who can forgive sins except for Allah? Meaning none can. No one can forgive sins except for Allah. It is only Allah who can forgive sins. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they do not persist upon what they have done while they know. يُصِرُّوا is from the root letters صَاد رَ رَ from the word إِصْرَار. And إِصْرَار is to become persistent upon something. It is to insist upon an action. So لَمْ يُصِرُّوا, they don't persist, they don't insist upon what? Upon what they did. What did they do? The fahisha or ظلم upon themselves. So they don't continue to do that. They don't continue performing that same action. For instance, you're talking to your friend and you end up backbiting. You end up doing ghibah. Halfway through you realize that's ghibah. Halfway through you realize that's ghibah. What are you going to do? Might as well finish the discussion. What are you going to do? لَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They don't persist on what they were doing previously while they know. So once they realize their mistake, once they know that what they were doing was wrong, they stop. They don't continue to do it. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They know. What do they know? That what they were doing was something wrong. And they know that persistence in sin is harmful. And leaving it is better. They know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives, and He is the one who turns in mercy to His slaves when a person repents to Him. So when they know this, when they realize this, they stop committing the sin. They don't continue. So what do we learn from this ayah? First of all, we realize that a muttaqi, a person who has taqwa, is not ma'soom. What does it mean by that? That he also makes mistakes. He also commits sins by mistake, not deliberately, but by mistake. Because the previous ayat, they told us that Jannah has been prepared for who? The muttaqeen. Who are they who have these qualities? And one of them is that whenever they do fahisha or zalamu anfusahum, they seek forgiveness. They remember Allah. So what does this show? That a muttaqi person is also a human being, is also a normal human being. A muttaqi, insan, is not an angel. And insan is from nisyan. Human being forgets. We forget. We have read so much, we have studied so much, but still we're human beings, we forget. So if a person makes a mistake and he follows it up by seeking forgiveness, then what does it show? It shows that he has taqwa. And a person who commits a mistake and does not stop there, but continues in the sin, or commits a sin deliberately, what does that show? He does not have taqwa. For example, Adam alayhi salam, he made a mistake and he repented immediately. As soon as he realized, he repented. So a true muttaqi is one who, when he commits a mistake, what does he do? He seeks forgiveness. And he does not commit sin deliberately. He does not commit sin deliberately. Now think about it. We know of things that we must do, and we know of things that we must not do. But if we go against the rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for us deliberately, that is against taqwa. But if we're trying our best to follow the rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and if we do make a mistake, and upon making a mistake we repent, that shows that a person has taqwa. So first of all, this is what we learn from this ayah. From a hadith that is in Tirmidhi, we learn that all of the children of Adam make mistakes. All human beings, they make mistakes. And the best of those that make mistakes are those who repent the most. Who are they? Those who repent the most. At-tawwabun. Similarly, we learn from another hadith that by the one who has my soul in his hand, meaning by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are not to sin, then Allah would remove you and would bring another nation who sins, and who would then seek forgiveness from Allah, and He would forgive them. So what is expected of us is not that we never commit mistakes, but what is expected of us is that whenever we make mistakes, what should we do? Turn back to Allah, seek forgiveness, and that is taqwa, that is piety. Also, we learn from this ayah that each time a person makes a mistake, that a person commits a sin, who is he harming? Himself. Because it has been said, ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. They wrong themselves. How? By committing a sin. So whenever a person commits a sin, who is he harming? Himself. In Surah Al-Talaq, Ayah 1, we learn, وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Whoever transgresses the hudud of Allah, the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set, then what is he doing? فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Then in fact he is harming himself. In fact, who is he harming? Himself. The nafs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the life that Allah has given us, it's an amanah on us. It's a trust upon us, and we are to protect it. We are to guard it. And if we commit sins, what are we doing? We're not guarding the amanah properly. We're doing zulm upon ourselves. Another very important lesson that we learn from this ayah is that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives sins. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الدُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Only Allah forgives sins. We know from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that he would seek forgiveness 70 times a day minimum. Despite the fact that he was told that you were forgiven for all of your mistakes. He was told, but still he continued to seek forgiveness every day at least 70 times. So if we have committed a mistake, we realize it, we seek forgiveness, we shouldn't say after like a month or two that, okay, I've sought enough forgiveness, maybe I should stop now and I should worry about other things. No. A person should always feel the burden of that sin in his heart, and he should continue to seek forgiveness. Right? But he should be hopeful of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And one of the signs of the acceptance of a person's repentance is that he does not repeat the mistake again. He does not commit that same sin again. That's one of the signs of the acceptance of tawbah. And part of seeking forgiveness is that you replace the bad deeds with the good deeds. The sins that you were committing previously, you stop them, you seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now you move on to doing something good to make up for the harm that you caused in the first place. So we learn from this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who forgives sins. Remember that sins are of two types. Those sins that are against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sins that are committed against people. When it comes to sinning against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do we have to seek forgiveness from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it comes to sinning against people, for example, you know, saying something rude to another, backbiting another, then what do we have to do? Seek forgiveness from Allah and also the person. Also the person. And if, let's say, you don't know that person anymore, or you don't see that person anymore. For example, you remember that 10 years ago you said something really harsh to your classmate. You don't know that person anymore. You don't have their contact. How are you going to seek forgiveness from them? Or that person has passed away. What are you going to do? You're going to say, forget about it, it's okay? No. You can give sadaqah on their behalf. That, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give them reward for this sadaqah. So make up for the harm, the loss that you have caused to the other person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who forgives sins. We learn from a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that shaitan said, by your might, O Lord, shaitan said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that by your might, O Lord, I will go on tempting your servants as long as their souls are still in their bodies. As long as your servants are alive, I'm going to continue to tempt them. I'm going to continue to make them err and commit mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, by my might and majesty, I will keep forgiving them as long as they keep invoking me for forgiveness. Shaitan is after us. He doesn't leave us. He wants to make sure that we make mistakes. But what is the promise of Allah? that as long as you make mistakes and you follow them up by seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will forgive you. We learn from Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 104, أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ. Indeed, it is Allah who accepts repentance from His servants. Allah is the one who accepts repentance from His servants. And we also learn from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 222, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Indeed, Allah loves those people who are constantly repentant, who are constantly seeking forgiveness, constantly repenting from the mistakes that they have made. And He loves those who purify themselves. He loves those who purify themselves. And part of purification is staying away from sins, staying away from disobeying Allah. And if you are backbiting somebody, how are you going to seek forgiveness from them? I'm asking you. The thing is, how will you seek forgiveness from them if you don't inform them? There are different ways of informing the person. One is that you go and tell them, I said this and this and this about you. Sorry. And the other is that you mention to them, please forgive me, I said something inappropriate that I shouldn't have said. Please forgive me about that. I don't want to discuss it, I don't want to talk about it, but please forgive me. So you could say it in a better way as well. You could say it in a nicer way. And another thing that you can do is, that one was that you give sadaqah. Another is that you said something negative about them, now you say something positive about them. That's also one thing that you can do. But remember, you have to seek forgiveness from that person. And I dare you to go and seek forgiveness from a person whom you did riba of. Never again will you dare do riba. You will never again want to do riba again. Seriously, go try it out. And next time you will remember that if I'm doing this, I have to go seek forgiveness from the person. And that will stop you from doing riba. Because riba is so common. It is so common. We think we have the right to say anything about anybody for no reason. You know, one is that you're actually discussing something for a particular reason, but in that also we should be careful about how we're discussing the problem. We're not insulting someone, we're not making fun about somebody. No, that's not the correct way. So if you try this out, go and actually seek forgiveness from them in a manner that is appropriate. Next time, you will be careful when it comes to backbiting. Once Imam Bukhari, he saw a blind person who did something that brought a smile on Imam Bukhari's face. And that person didn't see his smile. Obviously, the other person is blind. He didn't see Imam Bukhari's smile. But Imam Bukhari even considered that to be ghibah. And he sought forgiveness from him. Smiling at someone behind their back when they don't know, that also comes in ghibah. And he actually sought forgiveness from him. Also, we learn from this ayah that upon realizing a sin, a person should not persist upon it. A person should not insist on committing it. Once a person realizes, he should not continue to do it. This is something very important. What happens with us is that when we realize we're doing something wrong, we give ourselves excuses. I'm justified. I have the right to do this. I have the right not to do this. Or I will do it later. I will not do it later. We give ourselves explanations, we give ourselves justifications, and we continue in the wrong that we're doing. But as soon as you realize, what's the proper etiquette? That you stop immediately. Sometimes we don't realize ourselves, but a friend reminds us. A friend tells us, you shouldn't do this. What do we say? Don't tell me. Mind your own business. We get very offended. And what did we learn about the hypocrites? That أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِسْمِ. That when he is told that don't commit fasad, what does he do? أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِسْمِ. That his izzah, his ego comes up. And it takes him to committing more sin. So upon realizing that you're doing something wrong, yourself, or upon the reminder from other people, what should you do? Stop immediately. And this shows that the person, whatever wrong that he was doing, it was not deliberate. It was not intentional. It was by mistake in the first place. And sometimes, this also teaches us that if a person is committing something wrong, give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they are mistaken. Maybe they didn't realize. Maybe they forgot. And instead of publicizing their sin, instead of telling everybody about what they did, or about what they didn't do, what should you do? Go and speak to them. remind them. Because over here has been said, وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ, and they know. It's possible that the other person is doing something wrong and he doesn't even know about what he's doing. He doesn't realize about what he's doing. So don't publicize the sin of other people. Just as you won't want somebody else to publicize your sin, especially if you did it out of ignorance. If you did it out of negligence, out of mistake. So treat others the way you would like to be treated. أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ, those, their reward is مَغْفِرَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ, forgiveness from their Lord. وَجَنَّاتٌ, and also جَنَّات. وَجَنَّات تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَالنِّعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ. Gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will abide eternally, and excellent is the reward of the righteous workers. أُولَٰئِكَ, أُولَٰئِكَ is used to point out to something or someone who is far. It's the plural of ذَلِكَ. ذَلِكَ is used for singular and أُولَٰئِكَ is used for plural. So أُولَٰئِكَ is used to point out to that which is far. That, those, not these. So why is أُولَٰئِكَ used? Such people who have these qualities, who have these traits, they are very exalted in their status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're very exalted in their status in the sight of Allah. So those people up there, جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ, even in their akhlaq, in their manner, in their behavior, they are very high in their behavior as well. Ordinary people, common people, or people who don't use their mind, they're the ones who show their anger. They're the ones who don't forgive other people. But a person who has taqwa, he becomes distinguished when he has akhlaq. So أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ, those people, their reward is مَغْفِرَةٌ, is forgiveness. And this forgiveness is reward. Notice مَغْفِرَةٌ is reward. It's a reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. And this forgiveness, this reward is going to save them from the punishment of the hellfire. مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, from their Lord. What does this show? That مَغْفِرَةٌ is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What else is their reward? وَجَنَّاتٍ, and also gardens. So on one hand, the reward is forgiveness, from which they will be saved from the hellfire. And on the other hand, the reward is jannat, through which they will attain success. And these jannat, تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ, underneath which rivers flow. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, and they will be abiding therein eternally. What does Allah say about this reward? وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ, and how good, how excellent is the reward of those people who work. عَامِلِينَ is the plural of عَامِل. Who is عَامِل? One who does عَمَل. One who does something. One who practices something. And remember that عَامِل, someone is called عَامِل when he does عَمَل again and again. Not just once or twice, not just here or there. Not just one who suppresses his anger once in a lifetime. No. It's his habit. This is something that he constantly does. This is something that he strives to do, always. So, نِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ, those people who work, those people who perform actions in obedience to Allah, for them, what an excellent reward is this. Forgiveness and Jannah. So what do we learn from this ayah? That the jazaa for those people who have taqwa is first of all, مَغْفِرَةٌ, and secondly, Jannat. And when it comes to Jannat, what do we learn from the hadith? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for His righteous servants what no eye has seen. And that is where? In Jannah. So this reward, it cannot be imagined. It cannot be imagined. You have to see it to know it. It has only been described very briefly over here. Jannat tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. So the reward for such people is immense. It is huge. And notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the reward. وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ, how excellent is the reward for those people who do work. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises something, it shows the magnitude of that thing. It shows the importance of that thing. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising the reward over here, what does it show? The magnitude, the importance of this reward. Secondly, we learn from this ayah that مَغْفِرَةٌ is also a reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows on some people. Forgiveness is a reward. But it will be given to who? Those who seek forgiveness. Those who continue to do tawbah in this dunya. So you continue to seek forgiveness throughout your life, and when is maghfirah granted? In the hereafter. When is maghfirah granted? In the hereafter. And what does maghfirah mean in the hereafter? That a person is not punished for the sins that he committed. Why? Because of all the istighfar that he did. Because he sought forgiveness for committing those sins. Also we learn about the importance of doing amal, the importance of doing some action. Jannah is not just gained by hoping for Jannah, just wishing for Jannah. But how does a person get Jannah? By doing some amal through which he gains the pleasure of Allah, and from the pleasure of Allah, what does he get? The rahmah of Allah, the Jannah of Allah. But where does it start from? Amal. Action is required. Action is needed. In Surah Al-Rahman, Ayah 60, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Is the reward for good anything but good? The reward for good, is it anything but good? So if you do good amal, what are you going to get? Good reward. But if you do bad amal, what are you going to get? Bad recompense. So ni'ma ajru al-amilin for who? For those who do ni'ma actions. For those who do excellent actions as well. And what are the excellent actions? Those that have been mentioned over here. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون أولئك جزاؤهم مغفرة من ربهم وجنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ونعم أجر العاملين.
So who would like to share?
Assalamu alaikum. I found it really nice that, you know, how Shaitan's our enemy, so he's like, as long as you're alive, I'm going to keep making them commit sin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered that as long as, you know, we keep committing sin and asking for forgiveness, He's going to forgive us.
So the solution is that each time you make a mistake, what should you do? Seek forgiveness. Dhikr bil lisan, bil qalb, as well as bil jawarih.
Assalamu alaikum. When you do realize that you've made a mistake and you're on the deen of Allah, you ask for forgiveness from these people, but the first thing you do is they mock at you. And that's the point where you need to do patience and sabr. And that's where you need to ask Allah for even more help.
We've been learning about so many tangible things, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, you know, not to take riba and all these other tangible things, but also we have to know about the intangible things, like the smallest things like backbiting, or these are also sins.
We are very concerned about tangible matters, things that we can see, but when it comes to conversations, when it comes to the state of our heart, we don't pay much attention to that. But we see كَالْزِمِين الْغَيْظِ, it's about the heart. عَفِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, it's about the heart. So it starts from the heart. So we should also pay attention to the heart. Anything else?
When we have forgiven somebody, we should not remind them about something that they have done to you. Yes. The fact that you have forgiven them, that should not be in your heart. Even if it's 10 years down the road, you cannot turn around and tell that person that, remember what you did that time?
Yes.
And we have that habit with our children, or even with our spouses, we've forgiven them, but suddenly we'll remember, remember what you did that other time, how many years ago, whatever it was. Yeah. And that's not called forgiveness.
This is not afu. Afu is to wipe off.
Yeah, don't even remember it. Don't even remember it. That's the key. When my kids were small, I used to scold them at night. I used to cry when they were sleeping and ask Allah for forgiveness because I scolded them. And it was for their good. But of course, as a mother, you feel sorry, right? You feel heart sore. Even now, you think of yourself as you're asking Allah for forgiveness for all that you have done for your kids or your spouses. Unconsciously, we do hurt people. We do hurt people, no matter who it is. Even here in school, sometimes I may sound harsh, I may say do things. So at night is my time for asking for Allah for forgiveness. And I hope all of you forgive me too, inshallah. And all of us, inshallah, for that matter.
All of us forgive each other.
I was actually observing once I was with these two sisters and they were actually arguing. And you know, one was getting mad at the other one. And the sister, what she did was she said, "A'udhu billah." Like, you know, screaming at her. And I was thinking that we should never do that. The reason being, you're saying a'udhu billah to suppress your own anger, not to suppress the other person's anger. Yes. It's not like you spit it on them and they're, you know. So just make sure, because that'll actually incite the other person's anger. Mm-hmm. So just something, use these tactics in the right way, or not tell them, "I'm going to go do wudu right now because I'm getting very angry." So just to keep that in mind as well.
Assalamu alaikum. When I was a kid, one of my sisters did something, my mom would tell us, you know, say Allah Samhik. And so you go, Allah Samhik, and they'd be, Ameen. So like we think that we're like hitting back at each other, and we realized what it meant when we got older. We're like, oh, wait a second, that's not like something bad. It was actually, you know, making da'at. So that's like a good thing to teach our kids, make da'at for them, you know, instead of getting mad at them.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I was just thinking here, Allah say wa jannatun tajri min tahti al-anha. Subhanallah. We cannot imagine this Jannah. And for us to get to Jannah, we have to work hard. Allah is just keeping us like, we have to imagine how it is. Like, if you look like Hawaii and all these islands, they look beautiful. But at Jannah, tajri min tahti al-anhar, we cannot imagine that. So we have to work hard, inshallah, to get there. Islam.
There was this one hadith about when the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever enters the door, I think of the mosque thing, he would enter Jannah, and this happened three times, and it was the same man over and over. So the Sahaba said, "Oh, you know what, I'm going to go try and figure out exactly what this guy did." And he went and he decided to stay at the guy's house for 3 days and nights. And then he looked and this guy didn't wake up for like the Qiyam al-Layl, and he's like, "Well, what is this guy doing?" And then he asked the guy, and he's like, "Oh, every night before I go to bed, I forgive everybody." So this just shows that even forgiveness, subhanAllah, just doing that is a source of barakah.
Allah is really encouraging us to this ayah, because even the muttaqeen, they make mistakes, and so that gives us hope too, that we can also be muttaqeen even with all of our mistakes.
Did you think that, why are these verses mentioned here in the context of the Battle of Uhud? The Sahaba also, they made a mistake, they didn't obey the Prophet ﷺ, and when they realized they had made a mistake, what were they encouraged to do? Seek forgiveness. Many times when we're working collectively, one person makes a mistake, and what do? We want to show our anger, right? So al-kaazimina al-ghayz. Then afina 'anil nas. So sometimes when we're working together, even for the cause of the deen, things happen. People make mistakes, but what should we do? Not forget these ayat. Forgive people, control our anger. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ والله يحب المحسنين والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون أولئك جزاؤهم مغفرة من ربهم وَجَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَنِعْمَ أَجْرُ الْعَامِلِينَ.